Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Welcome, Moors and Moors Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana LB. And this evening, we have some very, very important information to put down for you today. We're going to be dealing with whether or not the Moors own their own land. Do you own your own land? This is what we're going to be dealing with this evening. And we're going to answer that question outright. And we're going to deal with it from every conceivable angle. And keep in mind, if you have questions or comments, you're going to need to raise your hands this evening, and we will open up the line so that you can get in. First of all, we're going to mention the fact that we're offering our free articles as usual, 14th Amendment Exposed, as well as the Commerce Game and How to Play. And these documents can be, you can get a hold of those by sending me an email. Just say, Tahaka, send me those free documents you mentioned on your broadcast, and I'll rush that right on to you through an email. Just send that to tahaka53@hotmail.com. And We'll get that to you. Now, also, on Wednesday evenings, we will be on the national conference call for the Moorish American government, and we will be teaching contract law. Okay? And so y'all need to tune in to that so you can get that information that we're dropping over there for you. Keep in mind, on August the 16th through the 18th, we will be having our Moorish Summit right here in Jacksonville, Florida, and we'll be in the Wyndham Hotel. Y'all need to catch that as well. August the 16th through the 18th, we'll be right here in Jacksonville, Florida, in the Wyndham Hotel, and people will be here from all over the United States, so you don't want to miss this exciting event. There'll be quite a few guest speakers, and you want to make sure that you reserve your hotel or motel reservations right here when you get here. Okay? All right. Now, what we're going to deal with now is whether or not you own your land, whether or not you own your own house, for that matter. And what we want to do is dissect this thing and show you from the underbelly how it got that way, what's the problem, the whole ball of wax. We're going to deal with the entire ball of wax for the broadcast this evening. in dealing with that particular thing. Now, it may be a good idea if you have pencil and paper handy so that you can write down the information that we're discussing here this evening. That's a good idea. And the reason being because you're going to hear some stuff that you need to remember. And if you got it down on paper, then you can do something with it. If you don't have it down on paper, you can't do nothing. But if you got it, then you can work some things. Now, one thing that we have to understand, and I'm going to put this to you in a nutshell. The United States of America filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 1933. The President of the United States called for all Americans to turn in their gold to help with the war effort, and then he turned around and made it illegal for you to own gold. So now we have a problem, because if you don't have any real money, how are you going to pay your debts? So what happened was they issued House Joint Resolution 192, which said that you can discharge your debts through signature. And the law was that they were supposed to put this information in a place where the public can have access to it. So what they did was they put it in an inconspicuous place, stuck it up in the post office. Now, it was up to you to come in there and see this right here. If you didn't see it, tough. Okay, that's just too bad if you didn't see it. And ever since then, we've been going on a lot of people. We had this thing in our brain where you're just supposed to pay for everything you got, and then they attached all these things to it. It's evil. If a man robs a bank, it's wrong, it's wicked, it's evil, and all this stuff. But nobody ever stopped to say, well, first of all, wait a minute. There is no money. And if the entire nation has been robbed at gunpoint because it was illegal for you to own gold, because we called for you to turn in the money, and if you didn't turn it in, you could be fined or imprisoned and all of this stuff, then how could it possibly be wrong for somebody, or evil or wicked, for somebody to rob a bank from the robber that already robbed you in the first place? Y'all know how I am. I always call for people to use common sense. You know, just use common sense sometimes. I had a young man told me one time, he say, well, then, based on what you just told me, he said, if I went into a bank and robbed the bank, I said, okay, and if I had a driver with me, and that driver was driving a getaway car, I said, okay, and I come out the bank with the money, but the city caught me, and I couldn't get away with the money. Was it wrong to rob the bank? Well, my buddy got away, but it wasn't wrong for me to rob the bank. Well, based on what I know, I had to tell him no. I said, what was wrong was the fact that you robbed it wrong. Because if you'd have robbed it right, you'd have got away. Now, don't go rob no banks. don't go out there robbing no banks. Don't do that. The only thing that I'm trying to get you to understand is this entire nation is being held in the throes of corruption. And we're going to deal with that tonight. I don't know of no man or woman on the face of this earth could be free without knowing the truth. Now, before we get started, I see we got a hand raised over here. I'm opening up this line to see what's going on with this right here. Area code 203. Could you tell us who you are, where you calling from, what's your question or comment that's related to the topic?
Well, my name is Michael Yell Delbey. Islam, brother. My name is Michael Yell Delbey.
Hey, man.
Calling from Connecticut Territory.
Okay.
And I'm, you know, like I'm listening to you share your measures, and I'm a homeowner myself. I'm a homeowner.
Okay.
And I got to pay mortgage, and I also got to pay taxes. Matter of fact, it's due this month. And I have no idea about how not to pay taxes and still owe my property. Because I know once you're behind in your taxes, they could just come and take your place or your house.
So
to avoid all that, I try to be above board and pay my taxes. So
okay. Well, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have some knowledge about this here.
That's why I'm on the phone for, sir.
Okay. Well, let's look at it like this. You ever heard of Muhammad Ali?
Yep.
What he used to have a habit of doing was before he got in the ring with a man, he would always find out everything it is about that man, and then he'd get in the ring. Every once in a while, he thought he was so great, he wouldn't get in there with him. Wouldn't find out about it, about the man, and then get in there with him. But you find out everything about it and what's going on with it, and then you go at it. How about that?
All right.
That making some sense?
It makes a whole lot of sense.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're gonna look at this thing here this evening, and we're going to deal with what's going on. And once we understand what's going on, then we can get in a position to do some things. I like to mention the fact of my website. That's at www.newfreehelpgroup.com. That's www.newfreehelpgroup.com. And I'm going to put this information in the chat room for those of you who are there, and so that you can get this information. In order to contact me directly, please do so before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at area code 904-303-9061. And that's 7 days a week. Before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, okay? And we'll try to get your questions answered and work with those of you who are accessing and donating to archives and accessing the different programs that we have and we're working with you to make sure that you become successful. Do you have another question, brother?
Well, like I said, once I know how to get around that, like you said, study. And look into it before you even make any move. I'd like to be able to, once I be able to not have to pay my taxes, I can, you know, contribute to the government of the Moorish American government. You know?
All right. Well, let me ask you something. Do you, in your personal opinion, do you think taxes are legal based on what you already know?
Do I think taxes are legal?
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm already stuck on, if you don't pay, they will take. Well, I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair because I'm paying a whole lot.
All right.
The house value going down, but the tax is going up.
All right. But what I'm asking you, could you give me a yes or no answer on whether you think it's legal?
Taxes are legal. No, I don't think it's legal.
Okay. Legal. All right. Well, we're gonna leave it alone. And we're gonna deal with the fact of whether it's legal or not. We're gonna deal with it. And after this, you know, after all the smoke clear from this particular shootout, then we'll know what we're dealing with. How about that? Is that fair?
That's fair enough.
All right. I'm gonna mute your mic, brother. And I've been looking for the transcript for today's show. I don't know what happened, but anyway, I'm gonna mute your mic, and then we're gonna get on with the broadcast.
All right, thank you, my brother.
All right, peace. All right, now, do you, Moorish American, own your own land? And if you don't own your own land, what's going on or what's causing the fact that you are not owning your own land? Now, what we're about to do, we're going to do this right here first, is we want to answer that question outright, bottom line, no holds barred. We're going to deal with that first, and then we're going to get on down in here. Keep in mind that after this first segment, in regards to that question, because we need to know this, man. And the reason why we need to know this is because we got houses that's sitting on top of land. Up under your house is the ground. There's a lot that your house sit on. There's a building that your house sit on. All these things are right there. Now, we don't pay all of this any attention in the beginning. You know, we just think it's just normal, and, you know, and we got to be concerned about the house and all this right here. But let's take a look at this right here. Y'all hold your hat for a minute. Let's ride. Okay?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to It's Rainmaking Time. This is Kim Greenhouse. I have to tell you that today's segment really excites me. And it excites me because as we're watching the banks crash and burn and people get hurt and lose their money and foreclosures happen, not only in the United States but around the world, people have been looking for loopholes or anything within the lawful means in which to gain their power back and gain their authority back over their land, over their properties. In my consulting business and in the rainmaking business, I am constantly looking for people who could benefit from new knowledge and solutions to their problems, which will address their concerns, not only after they're having difficulty, but before, so that they don't have the difficulty. And much to my surprise, I've just learned that the real estate business and real estate is not the same thing as owning your own land. That when you own title to land, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're the owner of your land. It just means that you're a tenant on the land. So I've called upon somebody who does what's called land patents. His name is Alan Kriglow. He has a website called landpatent.us. And I think you're going to be very amazed when you hear the inner workings behind the scenes of land and what you can do, remedies that you have available to you to make sure you own your land outright. His site opens with regain control of your land through a land patent process. Ladies and gentlemen, Alan Kriglow, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What do you mean we don't own our land? How is this possible? And how is it possible that 99% of us plus don't know that when we have title to our land, we don't own it?
Well, it says, if you read what it says on the ownership documents, it'll often say that like a couple is tenants in common. They own the land as tenants in common and not by the entirety or whatever. Right there it says you're a tenant. A little background might help. When people came over from England or wherever they came from, the system of land ownership or of property ownership in England and Europe was that the king owned all the land, and the people had various rights to property, but they didn't own the underlying land, so the king owned the whole country. There was a system called fealty or a feudal system where one owed a feud, which was an obligation to the king or to whoever you owned who was underneath the king. That is the feudal system. When this country was opened up, and they wanted to have a different system here, they chose deliberately to make sure that the people who populated the newly found country were landowners. And so the United States government issued land patents or letters made patent, which was a grant of absolute ownership of a certain amount of land. And if you wanted to get one of these land patents, you had to pay for the survey. A surveyor would do the survey and indicate exactly, you know, what land you owned. You had to pay the surveyor's fee. Some people say that that's the source of the term fee, but It also goes back to, we don't want to get too many complications here, but the word fee was used in the feudal system as well.
So basically, the people that came to the United States, the original people here who ran things, were still established in a feudal system, and therefore, that's what we have. Is that the bottom line?
No, no. What happened was, initially, there were grants of land to people in all of the 13 colonies from the king, and it was necessary for the king to induce people to come, in some cases, for him to give absolute ownership of that land to whoever it was. Once we won the Revolutionary War, the desire was to see to it that the people who populated the nation were landowners, and so people were given grants of land. It was absolute ownership to the grantee, his heirs and assigns forever. So it's pretty obvious that if land was given with absolute ownership, and that absolute ownership was to be for the benefit of the grantee, his heirs and assigns forever, that means that everyone who inherited from that grantee and everyone who the grantee sold to and who they sold to and who they sold to, everyone was to have this absolute ownership. Now, what happened was that there's always been this tension between freedom and the banking interests. Once there was a real test of the bank's ability to have control of the country in the 30s, they started to do a full court press with the law community to make people forget all about exactly how to record ownership of land. What was encouraged was to get title insurance and to simply record the deed without signing it or accepting it. All of these are huge mistakes and have resulted in people believing that they own land when they haven't even accepted the deed, let alone brought the original land patent forward for their benefit. So it's just simply because of people not knowing that the proper approach to recording and ensuring land ownership has happened.
Let me give you an example of something this reminds me of. Like in this scenario, as you're describing it, a standard protocol was instituted regarding owning the title, but not the land itself. And that took hold, so that's what people were focused on, was owning the title rather than owning the land. If that protocol weren't instituted, then maybe more people would know that they don't own their land, you see? And it reminds me of the broadcasting industry. The whole matrix of advertising got built with the Nielsen ratings and the Nielsen box. And so that standard, that mechanism was infused into the structure so that became the ground by which advertising got bought and sold in order to roll out programming. And that reminds me of this mechanism that got instituted as a protocol. Real estate became the language used instead of a landowner. And owning title became the focus versus the correct protocol to own the land itself. Am I correct?
That's true. And one thing that people tend to forget is that the ownership rights to property are broken up into different pieces. And the only way that you can have all those pieces in your hands is if you own all of them. So people just overlook the fact that they need to secure their ownership of the land, not realizing that that is separate from the ownership of what is called the appurtenances. I think it's appurtenances, the appurtenances. Now, interestingly, I think the pure understanding of land versus appurtenances is that the land is the empty space within the boundaries of the property. The word land in that understanding doesn't even include the soil or the dirt. With that understanding, the dirt, the trees, any buildings on the property, all that is appurtenances. And so one has appurtenant rights to the land, the building, all that. However, if you don't own the land, then you only own the appurtenant rights.
So this could be very complicated and murky, because what if you have wells, water wells, and you have minerals on that land? So you own the title.
As you know, one can sell the mineral rights and still own the right to live there and farm there or whatever.
Right.
It's referred to as a bundle of rights. there are many different kinds of rights. There are air rights, there are water rights, there are mineral rights, riparian rights for a person who owns property that's next to a stream or a river. All those different rights can be separated or can be held all together. And if you own allodial title, as it's referred to, then you own all of the rights that one could own in connection with the property, including the land.
When you say allodial title, what does that mean? Is that the same as a land patent?
Allodial title is basically what the king owns when he both owns the land and owns everything else about the property.
Okay.
It's called owning property in allodium, or it means you got everything in your hands.
And that would be expressed in a land patent.
The land patent gave absolute ownership, so it basically gave the new owners the same ownership that a king would have over the property that they had just purchased. So they would own the land, they would own all the appurtenant rights, and all the hereditary rights. So they have the right to pass it on to their heirs. They also have all the other rights associated with the land.
If, in fact, getting a land patent is the highest form of title known in law, superior, as you say, to any other claimant, including government attempting to take by eminent domain, a bank with a sheriff sale deed, a purchaser in a property tax sale with a tax sale deed, or anyone else. Possession of the land patent means you own the land patent, absolutely. That's on your website. I'm reading that just now. So how is it now, since you do this for a living for people, what is the standing that people have legally to their land patents?
The law has not been followed properly. What you just read is basically a summary of Supreme Court decisions on the subject. The Supreme Court is supposed to say the applicable law for all district courts, but there is so much pressure from the banking interests and other interests that do not want people to be empowered that in many instances the district courts will do everything they can to avoid being pushed into applying the Supreme Court decisions that actually should apply.
So when people are losing their homes the last few years, given the surge of foreclosures, a lot of people were told, make the banks produce the note. And a lot of people thought that then they had standing because, of course, the banks can't produce the note. And they credit default swapped and did derivatives and all kinds of other transactions where nobody knew where anything was anymore. You know, it's like five or six transactions down the rabbit hole. So a lot of people thought they had standing when they asked the bank to produce the note and they could buy time and avoid their foreclosure. But even asking the banks to produce the note won't work unless you have a land patent. Am I correct or incorrect?
I wouldn't say that that necessarily follows. It's more a matter of, at least, and I'm not a legal expert, but this I'm just an observer. It seems that what really matters is what circuit you're in and whether or not the circuit that you're in, the district courts, is applying that rule that the bank must be able to produce the note. In some, that is absolutely required, in some it's not. It's a power struggle between the extremely powerful banking interests and the way things ought to be according to applicable Supreme Court decisions. But the thing that people should understand is that the fraud involved in banking is becoming so widely understood, and the power of those who've been running the planet has come to have the appearance of the king without any clothes. That situation is changing, and that's the reason why people are having some success in stopping foreclosures by challenging the bank with respect to the note. I think that having absolute ownership of your land, according to Supreme Court decisions, is a great help because you have that. But judges who have found in favor of people on that basis alone have found themselves murdered. So this is very serious kind of business from the point of view of the judge to find on that basis. So if one is fighting a foreclosure, it makes sense to have possession of the land patent, but also to attack all of the violations of law and the mistakes that were made by the foreclosing attorneys. In many instances, for example, the institution that was supposedly the trustee of the trust that owned all of the securitized notes has ceased to make proper filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission, and therefore is not a valid trustee. The trust has basically lapsed for want of following the rules. So that's another basis that one can pursue. The land patent does confer the status of absolute ownership, but it's a little bit like taking a knife to a gunfight if that's all you got. some people do follow the law. Some judges follow the law. Some counties follow the law with respect to property taxation. There's so many different contexts in which people try to enforce their rights that a homeowner, a property owner, who goes into court, depending on what circuit they're in, on other circumstances, the land patent may weigh heavily, the land patent may have very little weight at all. It just depends on a number of things. It doesn't hurt because it has, you have the law on your side, but as I said, the law is sometimes ignored and sometimes not.
You say that it's on your website that the law that makes the land patent so powerful is not a bunch of patriot myths. It's a positive law enforceable in federal court. And so basically it's enforceable in federal court if you have a judge that's honoring the constitutional framework in which this was created. Is that correct?
It's not just that. If all you have going for you is the land patent, at the moment it's not the strongest position to be holding, because the courts are under such pressure not to find on that basis. But if you have the land patent plus, you can show that the bank does not hold, you know, have the note, plus you can show perhaps that they are not a valid trustee or whatever other mistakes that you can find, the land patent certainly doesn't hurt. And it gives you a lawful status, but you got to remember the difference between lawful and legal is a big difference, and many of the courts simply ignore what's lawful in favor of what they call color of law, which is also is termed legal. So color of law is what is assumed to be law or pretended to be law, and it's often not at all the same as what it should be.
I want you to explain to us terms. What does de jure government mean?
De jure government means according to law. The opposite of de jure would be de facto. For example, if a bunch of criminals were to take over a state sometime in the past, those criminals could be said to be a de facto government for the state. But if the state got cleaned up and it was governed the way it should be according to the state's constitution and all the applicable laws, then that would be a return to de jure government. Well, it happens that the entire country and all the states are in the situation where a corporation, when the District of Columbia Enabling Act, or no, that's not the term, but anyway, when the District of Columbia Corporation was created in 1871, then that became a corporation to pretend to be the United States government. And at first everyone understood that, and then over time it was forgotten, and they behaved as if they were the government. They expanded the jurisdiction of the United States, as they put it, and the United States being what they called the District of Columbia Corporation within the, was 10 miles square and is now less than that in the District of Columbia. The so-called government that we have running the country at the moment is the District of Columbia Corporation doing business as the United States. That's what it is. And all the states have been incorporated as sub-corporations of that same District of Columbia Corporation doing business as the United States of America.
Have you verified the documents for this?
Sure. You can look up the, I'm sorry that I have the wrong word, it's not the District of Columbia Enabling Act, but it's the District of Columbia Something or Other Act. It's referred to as the Act of 1871, and it created a corporation. Congress acted in a constitutional manner when they created that corporation, but that corporation started to behave as if it were the lawful government, and that's where the problem came in, because the bankers basically said, thank you very much, we'll now operate through this new corporation and take over as the government.
So what is the reason if a person is not losing their home and they're about to buy property, or what we call real estate, why should they have a land patent?
Well, if they're in the process of purchasing real estate, they can't really instantly have possession of the land patent at closing. They need to bring the land patent forward for their benefit. So they first need a valid deed, and it helps if they have accepted their deed and acknowledged it, because the deed is basically an offer. And if one goes along with the hustle that happens at most real estate closings, you see the deed, you're told it's going to be recorded, and you never have a chance to sign and accept the deed. That's a mistake, because it's an offer which, until accepted, means that you don't really own what you are buying.
Let's talk about how that would be instituted with a real estate agent today. If a real estate agent was selling a property to, let's say, one of the audience members, the right thing to do would be, at the point of the sale, to make...
Simply don't let the deed stay in someone else's hands. Say, let me see that, please. sign it saying accepted, thus and such date. That would be a quick way to handle it.
Accepted?
Because it's an offer. You need to accept it.
Where is it accepted? On a, just a regular piece of paper? Are you saying this is a typed up thing? Are you writing it on the deed?
I would write it on the deed. Accepted, acknowledged, and delivered to me, thus and such date. See, the deed form doesn't have a place for you to do that because it's all part of a big con job. The form itself is defective because it should have a place for the acceptance to be done.
Okay, so let's talk about the distinction between registering and recording land titles.
Whenever something is registered, it means that it's given over to the king, regis, regal. So registering, let's take a different example because many people don't realize that the document that documents a live birth is registered, which means that the infant is, by that registration, given over to the state. So when a mother signs whatever the document is called that documents the birth of her child, first of all, she signs her maiden name. Her husband is not listed on there, so it appears from that that she is not married. She signs not as the mother, but as some strange term like witness or something. It's clear if you look at it with your eyes open that she's doing something other than simply confirming that the baby was born. She's basically registering that child with the state. That's
so registering has a completely different legal connotation. Let's talk about the concept of recording a land title. How would that work?
Often the recorder's office is called the Register of Deeds. So in a sense, one is giving over the title to the county by doing that. See, the whole system is so screwed up that it's difficult to behave in a way which preserves your rights unless you kind of go against the what everyone's expecting of you.
There appears to be no way to record the land title because, in fact, there's no real provision for it in the process. Is that correct?
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, that's what you just said. So
well,
where are we?
I was about to correct that point. Let me say it a little different way. When in the land patent process, the client is encouraged or instructed to sign a document which is an acceptance and acknowledgement of the deed that is already on record in the recorder's office. And this is to correct a mistake in the record. Doing that means that now you actually own the property that was deeded to you. And then the rest of the land patent process is recorded in the Republic Records Bureau so that the land patent is not put into the jurisdiction of this corporate fictional county. The governments of the counties and the states and the United States Corporation, they're all corporate. And there's an awakening process that's happening right now, and we're very likely going back to a constitutional governance fairly soon because people are waking up, and also because the government that we have is basically on very thin ice financially and is in the process of losing its ability to bribe everyone into submission.
Okay, so what does this mean for the First Nations people who apparently the government acknowledges that they have to settle the issue of the land claims with the First Nation people? But what does this mean? Can they have land patents?
No, I'm not. You're getting me into an area that I'm not have no expertise on. That is the rights of Native peoples to various lands that were ceded to them by treaty or whatever. That's something I can't really speak to. Some land that was granted to Native peoples is the subject of land patent when that land was returned to the United States government, and then a land patent was issued to give it to someone. But that's an area that I have very little concrete expertise in, and I've simply come across that situation on occasion.
So who's calling you to do land patents? What are people under the assumption by the time they pick up the phone to you, they've either been referred to you or they've heard about you through some type of writing on the internet or some type of audio or video?
All over the map. Various people, sometimes they're trying to get out from under a foreclosure, and I have to tell them that the land patent may help, but it's not the whole story, at least not at the moment. Sometimes they want to get out from under property tax. According to Supreme Court decisions, there is no property tax owned on land that is subject to land patent. In other words, if it's an absolute ownership, and that means no one has the right to tax it. On the other hand, counties routinely issue property tax bills, and they presume to foreclose on property where the property taxes are not paid. On the other hand, there is the position, which I believe is the case, that just about all those state statutes that make provision for property tax are so vague that they are constitutionally void for vagueness. And also, there is the Supreme Court law that says that land that is subject to the land patent is not subject to property tax. So some counties, when they're instructed, and it's part of the routine procedure that the county is instructed to take the property that was just where a land patent was just brought forward for the client, take that property off the tax rolls. Some counties do so, and they simply take the property off the tax rolls and stop charging property tax. Others, because they don't want to give up that revenue and are simply more inclined to be belligerent on the subject, they will continue to issue property tax bills and basically take the position of sue us. You have the law on your side, but you have to do whatever it takes to enforce your rights.
I'm sure that they assume that nobody or very few people are going to exercise their rights based on assumptions. Let me explain something to you. I just did a piece the other day where a team of people wrote a book, a memoir about their lives. The book was retitled and repackaged. It was then picked up by the producer of the Harry Potter movie, and it's going to be made into a movie with a massive merchandising arm. They found thousands of places in the book where exact words were used, exact phrases, exact themes. And one of the things that the attorneys behind the scenes told them and advised them was that publishing companies don't care if they're involved in copyright infringement. And even when people get attorneys, they just drain them and the authors that have been ripped off because they are betting that nobody's going to have enough money to come up against them and that most people won't sue. So it reminds me similarly in this situation, the counties, some or many will assume that most people will not enforce their rights. There's an assumption. Even if 20% do, 80% don't. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sure you're correct.
So it's like that scenario.
It's a lot of hassle to try to enforce your rights. And we're coming into a situation where there's going to be a turnaround on that whole situation, but it hasn't happened very visibly yet.
Yeah, well, you'd have to have way more critical mass of people knowing exactly what to do and the specificity of moving forward together in whatever their specifics are, you know?
I think it's worth understanding that the mechanics of this are more in the area of collective consciousness.
Yes, of course.
The consciousness can shift very much like the psychology in a football or basketball game. It can be a subtle thing, but all of a sudden the consciousness has shifted.
Yeah, well, we're all part of that consciousness that's shifting. And this is a question of consciousness. But I will tell you, I've seen so many people on forums talking about love and light and shifting and all this stuff, which is great, right? But
yes.
Very few people taking full authority of their lives and really taking dominion in their own hands. Very few people take full authority for what's happening. 98% of all this is your mental state. It's true for almost everything.
One way to language that is to say you need to know who you are.
Yeah, indeed.
And one understanding of that is that you are that which created everything you see, including the stars and all that. So the more you can embody that status as the creator of the universe, and you know, this gets into religious understanding. And
we're not really going to go there because
that's fine. But yeah, knowing who you are in whatever sense you can understand that is at the core of this.
So talk a little bit about the distinction between or the gravitational authority of having a land patent versus a homestead. What's the difference?
Well, a homestead is a statutory thing.
Wait, what does that mean? Articulate.
Well, there were homestead laws, and the different states have different provisions with regard to what homestead means. For example, in Iowa, you have a right to keep a certain amount of money from the proceeds of your homestead home. Oftentimes, when one signs a mortgage, you sign away your homestead rights. So there are laws that govern what homestead means in each state, and it's different in different states.
Okay.
The land patent is basically a contractual thing between the United States government and the original grantee and that grantee's heirs and assigns forever. There is a constitutional provision protecting the contract rights. And so it's a constitutional matter as to the fact that one has a right to enforce the contractual rights that one has by virtue of having accepted the land patent, brought it forward for your own benefit. As an intended beneficiary of that contract between the United States government and the original grantee. Now, in different states, there are different availability of land patents. In the original 13 colonies, some of those colonies, there are land patents. For example, one of the original land patents was to the state of Pennsylvania, which then issued for, I guess, the governor of Pennsylvania probably issued land patents under that. Other of the original colonies don't have any land patents, but you can do the same land patent process by citing the original grant that the king granted to whomever back in the 1600s, for example, when the colonies were just getting founded.
How long does it take you to do a land patent?
Oh, it's once I have everything that I need, it's fairly quick. It's just a matter of filling out paperwork.
Can it be done electronically?
By someone who knew what they were doing and had all the right understandings, yeah.
Can you file for land patents for your customers electronically, yes or no?
No, I don't do it that way, and there's no arrangement for that.
Is there a reason that there's no arrangement?
Well, whenever you make something too loose, the people who don't know what they're doing will screw it up.
My question is about you as a professional. I understand that you do this manually. Okay, I get it. And you send it through registered mail? How do you do it?
Well, the sequence is the client sends me all of the documents that I would need to have in addition to the documents that I write up. That would be a copy of the land patent itself from the Bureau of Land Management of the Department of the Interior, a certified copy of that, a certified copy of their deed, all of the information about how to contact the recorder's office and the tax assessor's office, and other information such as the full names of the property owners. And then with all of that information, I'm in a position to fill out everything I need to fill out for the 6 or 7 documents, and it depends on whether the property is their primary residence as to whether it's 6 or 7, that need to be filled out in order to do a proper filing for the land patent. Then those documents get sent to the landowner or to the property owner for signing and witnessing, and in some cases they have to do it in front of a notary. So then all that comes back to me. I put everything together and send it into the Republic Records Bureau, where they record everything that is part of the land patent process. They record the whole set of documents and then send those documents to the landowner for permanent keeping. And that's basically the process. That's what happens.
What's usually the time frame once everything is signed on by the client, usually, where they know they've got it?
I mean, once they've signed the documents I prepared?
Yes.
Oh, well, they send those documents back to me, and I mail everything to the Republic Records Bureau. The Republic Records Bureau photographs everything and makes a permanent record in their files of everything that was sent in. They return the paper documents to the owner. The owner then also is encouraged to promptly post a public notice, ideally on the bulletin board outside the recorder's office, if that's available. They also record the notice of acceptance, acknowledgement, and delivery of the deed to correct the existing mistake or the error in the public record in the recorder's office.
Have you ever come across a situation when you went to correct the deed that the correction was denied?
Yeah.
And then what?
Well, there's a procedure to follow in that case.
Okay.
And the property owner is encouraged to mail those documents to the recorder's office with $21 in postage to make sure that they have a constitutional right to a jury trial for the $21 in stamps, I should say, not just postage. If the recorder's office then returns that mailing to them saying recording denied, then that is documentary evidence that the recorder's office has violated the law. And if the property owner wants to sue them, then they have the evidence in hand that they've done that.
Do you like your work?
I like being able to help people. It's something that I feel is helpful to some people, and some people are expecting too much of it. Yes, I like it.
Talk about how real estate got started, the term real estate, because we're not talking about land ownership then.
Well, remember that real estate is understood by everyone to be a bundle of rights. They just don't mention that ownership of the land is not included unless you go to some unusual steps to secure your ownership. Now, it used to be that the standard way of transferring ownership of land was to bring the land patent forward for one's benefit. Or, for example, the original grantee of the land patent, the person who received the original grant of absolute ownership from the United States government, would simply give a quitclaim deed to someone that he wanted to sell the property to. And then maybe they would do a quitclaim deed to the person when they sold it. We have actually seen, it wasn't one of my clients, but there was someone who came into the land patent process with no warranty deeds whatsoever in their chain of title. It all went back to the land patent, 17 of them, 17 quitclaim deeds.
Wow.
So that the this business of a warranty deed where the seller warrants that there's good title, and in order to back that up, there is a title insurance policy issue. This is just a bunch of obfuscation to make people forget what really gives one ownership of land.
Wow, that's powerful.
Now, there's nothing wrong with a warranty deed, but it should be accepted, and the land patent should be brought forward on the strength of that warranty deed. The warranty deed does give you the potential of ownership of the land, but the warranty deed needs to have been accepted. And then the land patent needs to be brought forward for the benefit of the new grantee of the warranty deed.
Fascinating. Is it true that all land patents say nothing about property taxes, nothing about easements, nothing about eminent domain, nothing about zoning rules and regulations?
No, remember that the vast majority of the land patents were issued back in the 1800s.
So it has nothing to do with all this stuff.
No, but the Supreme Court has made a number of decisions that relate to those subjects. If one has lawful possession of the land patent, then one does not owe any property tax. But the courts bend over backwards in some cases to ignore those decisions.
Well, listen, Alan Kriegel, it was very, very interesting to talk with you. And for those of you who would like to contact Alan, can go to landpatent.us. His phone number is there. And I just want to thank you for being with us and sharing with us about land patents. I'm sure you will get a lot of calls from this interview, and hopefully many people will look deeper into this and take the necessary authority to protect themselves and to secure the ground.
May I say one word about the website?
Sure.
There is a glitch in the way that Internet Explorer displays the website. It is best viewed in anything other than Internet Explorer.
Okay, very
good. Internet Explorer pushes everything over to the right, and if you look there, it's there, but it looks as if there's nothing there when you view it in Internet Explorer.
Sounds like it needs to be transitioned over to a WordPress blog, and therefore all this will get taken care of.
That might help.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much, Alan.
You're welcome.
Okay, Mose, did you hear that? Now, before we get down into the meat and potatoes of the situation, and I'm going to ask you, if you got any questions or comments, you raise your hand. I'm going to open up the line. Area code 920. Come on in. Area code 920. Hello? All right. Let me go down to area code 404.
Yeah, this is Cheetah Man Mutuel, Cherokee County, Georgia.
All right, let me have it, Cheetah Man.
Okay, how you feel about adverse possession? Because, I mean, I know in down here in Georgia, sovereign citizens were trying to take a couple of houses. And, and so they tried to, you know, put them in jail because they know the law. They were saying they were making up some fake deeds or whatever to get the house, something like that. But I know it's an old English law, so you can do an adverse possession on a foreclosed home. You see what I'm saying?
All right. Well, let me ask you this. Before we can ask you a question, I need to know what you know about adverse possession. What does that mean to you? What is that?
Like taking a claim of a abandoned property.
Okay, now If the property is abandoned, let me see if I can make sure I understand. If the property is abandoned, the bank don't own it, the people who are occupying it is no longer there, whether they're dead or whatever, no final action has been done on the property. It's just sitting there. There is no owner, and there is no claim. There is no legal right. There is absolutely no nothing. So what do you suggest for a person faced with that, and there's this property sitting there, and there's no legal recall from anybody, including the sheriff, the jail, the court, the bank, nobody? What do you think?
Well, when the house is foreclosed, that means the bank, I know they put it on the auction block. You got a 30-day gap to claim it, and they got 30 days to come and challenge you about the house within 30 days before they put it on the auction block.
But who gonna challenge you? If there ain't nobody to challenge you. Who gonna challenge you with any type of ownership? And then my next question is, who is they?
the bank, like Bank of America or Wells Fargo or something like that. That's what I'm talking about right now. But I was just asking you which how you feel about that. Cause I know some people go to jail about it, and some don't go to jail.
Okay. Well, it's like this with me. This is what I think, and this is what I try to get most understanding. This is why I'm hosting this broadcast here tonight and exposing this information. If you had listened to what the man said, all the questions that you ever had to ask about that has already been answered.
Yeah.
But if nobody owns the house, the bank don't own it, there's nobody living in it, they can't claim nothing, the city can't claim nothing, the property appraiser's office can't claim nothing, nobody owns this piece of property. So, therefore, before you do anything in regards to it, you need to look at a situation from every conceivable angle. You need to look at the criminals. You need to look at the righteous people. You need to look at the law, amity law. You need to look at a lot of different angles before you ever decide to deal with it. And then you must, before you even go in there, you must put up backup systems in the event of, because I'm going to say this one more time. A lot of people laugh when I say this, but we are dealing with criminals. You can understand it. See, the criminals don't have no rules. They make them up as they go along. They may even, criminals have had plans. We're going to go in the bank. I'll go in the back. You go in the front. I'm going to open the, we're going to bypass the alarm. We're going to do all of this right here. And we got this on paper. We got it's Friday. The armored car going to be over here about this, that, and the other. All this right here. The criminal got a plan. But what happens when the criminal plan go wrong? The criminal have to ad-lib. He had to come out with a whole different thing. He had to come out with, okay, the plan didn't work. Well, we got to do this, and we got to work quick. We ain't got time because something else gonna happen. So he had to throw up some smoke screens, dazzle you with brilliance, baffle you with BS, and do all kinds of things. And so what you have to do is remember one thing. Before you ever do anything, make sure you not only do you have a plan of action, but make sure you have a backup plan and a backup plan for the backup plan and a backup plan for that backup plan and on and on and on, and to make sure that you accomplish what you want. Because why? We are dealing with criminals. Do you have another question? Is that I'm trying to get this down, reduce it down to the lowest denominator in common sense.
So,
you understand this?
Yeah, yeah. So you, I mean,
okay.
You know how to do it, right?
Well, yeah, I have all the artillery to do it, but I have no interest in doing it. If I was forced in a position where I had to do it, yes, I would do it, and I'd do it well. And I'm like Ali. When I get in the ring, I'm not only going to whoop them, I'm going to be looking good while I'm doing it. And be looking good. My clothes going to look good. My boots going to look good. I'm everything look good. That's how I do it. But go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's I'm homeless right now, you know, and I mean, it's hard for me to get cash, so, I mean, and the only way, I mean, that's my only option, though, is to do an adverse possession.
Okay. Well, if you think you can do an adverse possession, for those of you who are homeless, what I would recommend you to do is you can go into a library or you can access my library, which would be better, and you could do some research. And, you know, that's gathering of artillery before you embark on what you're going to do. Don't ever go out half-baked and half-cocked. Make sure that you got some legs to stand on to do what you got to do. We got more houses that are vacant in America than we got homeless people. Did you know that?
Uh-uh.
And the reason why that is that way is because we have criminals. We got criminals. Anytime you're in a society that have the means to provide for the homeless and the hungry and the helpless and the fatherless and the motherless, and they put up all of these advertisements about we're doing this, we're doing that, and we're doing this, and we're doing that, and year after year after year after year after year, the same problem exists. Something is wrong. Anytime you have a system where if you got muscular dystrophy and we're raising funds to solve the problem year after year after year after year and the problem still exists, there's something wrong. If you say you have a hospital and people are getting sick, they have cancer, they have this, they have that, and they're going in and they're being treated and not cured, you have something wrong. Anytime you have a system that says we have a drug epidemic, a crime epidemic, but yet we can leave this country and go to other countries and totally neutralize them overnight, that means that something is wrong. So we come back to the same thing that I said in the beginning. We have criminals. You got to understand this. See, because we stuck on this thing that, well, I'm going to vote for such and such a person because he believes in so and so thing, and he gives a change it right. I'm going to vote for this right here. I'm going to look at the news today, hoping and praying that I get some good news, and we've been doing it for 400 years. Hey, man, come on. You got another question, man? Is you understanding what we do?
Yeah, so that was my, like, okay,
The other option I was looking at was the grant program to get a house. I know that, but I know most of them grants on it, they only cover like 20%, but then you got to try to come up with the other 80, something like that.
Well, I have the same grant manuals, and there are free grants that's given out. There's a difference between a loan and a grant, but there's another difference between a loan and a grant. It's an open and closed situation, if you understand that. But there are many alternatives that you can look at. What you're going to have to do is do some work, research. And but if you keep one thing in mind and never lose sight of the fact that we're living in a very, very interesting time, and we're going to have to turn over every rock and deal with everything, okay? I'm going to move on and answer some more questions before you ask them. How about that?
I'll see you.
All right, my brother. Peace.
Right.
If there's anybody else that got a question or comment, go ahead and raise your hand, and we're going to open the line. Now, what we're going to do now is let's deal with the question of, do you own your house? Because we done did the property that the house sit on. Let's deal with, do you own your home? Okay, let's just deal with that for a minute. And
I can walk back and forth across my property because it's my property. I can do anything I want if I own it. So anytime you get into a dispute as to who's got the right to do this, that, or the other thing, the real question that should be asked is, who owns the property? If you can identify the owner of the property, the question answers itself. The owner of the property can do whatever they want. Now, we frequently hear the phrase, constitutional rights. I hate that phrase. Stop using that phrase. Do not say constitutional rights. The reason that I hate that phrase is because constitutional rights sounds like the Constitution grants us rights. If you are granted something, is it a right or a privilege? It's a privilege. It is impossible to grant someone a right. It's a contradiction in terms. It's like a round square. It's the opposite. Like jumbo shrimp. You just cannot have a right which is granted. Now, there is a second concept that, let me continue on this property. You have a right to life. Where does that right to life come from? Well, property. Who owns your body? I hope it's you. What are you if someone else owns your body?
Slave.
You're a slave. So, if you know, basically, if you are not a slave, then you own your own body. Can you do whatever you want with your body?
Yes.
Now, is smoking good for you? No, that's pretty much, you know. Okay, but if you want to put a cigarette in your mouth and smoke it, it's your body. Do what you want. You know, it's not up to me to tell you what to do with your property. I mean, I don't recommend it. You know, but you're the property owner. Now, John Adams said, the moment the idea is admitted into society that property is not as sacred as the law of God, and that there is not a force of law and public justice to protect it, anarchy and tyranny commence. The law of property is the most important law, period. Even a 2-year-old understands property. Mine. Mine. That's mine. They don't understand it well, but they do understand that owning property is important. And as we get older, somehow we lose sight of that fact. We need to be just a little bit more like a 2-year-old to go, that's mine. And we have to be willing to defend that property. somebody jumps into your car and starts driving away, what do? Say, oh, gosh, I better call the insurance company. Or do you chase after them and try to get your car back? It's your property. Now, most of you do not own half the things that you think that you own. There is a concept known as allodial title. Allodial title means that you own it. I mean, the way that we think of when we say that you own something. Allodial title is generally referred to when we talk about land. If you own the land in allodial title, then you genuinely own the land. How many people went to a real estate agent when they bought their house? Okay, when you go to a real estate agent, are you buying property or real estate? There is a difference. When you buy real estate, you purchase everything from the ground up. You own the house, you own the trees, but you do not own the earth that it sits on. Can you go out in your backyard and drill for oil?
No.
No. Why? Because there's an ordinance against it? If it's your property, can you do whatever you want with your property? And if I can't drill for oil in my backyard, then apparently I don't own the property. Do you pay property taxes? Why? Who are you paying property taxes to? If it's yours, why would you have to give somebody else money? And the truth of the matter is that you do not own the land. You own the house on top of the land, but you are renting the actual land. And unless you have allodial title to the land, it is not yours. Now, we will talk about allodial title when we get to the history of the United States. When we broke off with England, people in the American continent here, the people in the United States, were the first people allowed to own land in allodial title. Prior to that, everything was owned by the king. Now, there are 50 states in the United States. Only one currently still allows you to own land in allodial title. And you are all very, very lucky because that state is Texas. However, most people in Texas still do not own their land in allodial title. Learning how to own your land in allodial title is another class that I haven't written yet. Now, let's talk about property. I want to really have you understand it. Let us presume that I own my land in allodial title, the way that we think of when we own something. Now, if it's my land, and I have this stack of lumber on my land, can I take that stack of lumber and nail it together in the shape of a house?
Yes.
Yes. Why is that? Why can I build that house? Because it's my land. It's my wood. It's all my property. And I can do whatever I want with my property. I don't have to ask anybody for permission. So now I build this house on my property. And I look at that house 2 weeks later and I go, well, I've changed my mind. I really don't want that particular house. Can I take all those nails out and disassemble that house and stack the lumber back up?
Yes.
Yes, because it is my property. I can rearrange my property and make it, put it in any shape I want. Well, it took me a long time. It was a lot of work to nail all that stuff together. And it's going to be a lot more work to, you know, pull it apart and stack it up again. And the wood's not that important to me. Can I light a match and burn that house down? Some people say yes, some people say no. Is it arson? No, it's not arson. I can burn my own house down if I want. It's my house. If I have a chair in the kitchen, I go, I really don't like this chair. Can I break it up and throw it in the fireplace? Yes. I can burn the chair because it's my property. Why can't I build a house? Burn the house. It's just a bigger chunk of property. So I have a right to burn down my own house, and it's not arson. Unless I have insurance out on it.
Okay, Morse, the most powerful system for total elimination of your mortgage on the globe. It stands to reason that if the United States filed bankruptcy in 1933, taking all the real money out of circulation, that our signatures on contracts and stuff is the only thing that's left. Now, we have a system that's set up to totally get rid of that mortgage contract. And if you got student loan debt, if you got your child support, then we got all contract eliminator as well. And what we're doing here now for those people who are accessing either one of these new packages that's located at newfreehelpgroup.com, we are adding Talkers Archives to it absolutely at no charge to you. So get over to www.newfreehelpgroup.com. Okay? Peace, Mose.
All right, Mose, we're back. What we're going to deal with now is let's take a look at the underbelly. Now, we're going to have to listen very carefully. If you got your pens and papers, take notes. But we're going to deal with the greatest scam, on the planet. And see if you can tie this in to what we got going. Because we got so many people out here in their mind that when they face with the solution of trying to solve a problem, they have this thing in their mind that so and so, all right, he trying to help me get this right here. All that may be true. You may have an individual that's trying to do something, but you must never lose the sight that the system that you're fighting to try to accumulate something is something wrong with it. So let's take a look at it. Let's look at the underbelly.
Banking,
okay?
The greatest scam on earth. Thomas Jefferson said, "I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, the banks will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered." Jefferson's warning is already here. 40 million Americans are living on food stamps. Millions more are now homeless, living in tents, all because of one institution, the Federal Reserve System. The Federal Reserve is a group of private bankers who have stolen the money creation process from the American people. Most people still believe the Fed is an agency of the government working in our best interests. It is not. There is no greater form of evil in the world today, so let's explore the banking scam. None of us have ever been taught anything about money. The reason is to prevent us from learning the truth that money is a trick and money is a trap. When solving any crime, there's a universal truth: follow the money. But with the banking scam, follow it backwards. Where does money come from? The world's money supply is always growing. Where does all the new money keep coming from? Money comes from privately controlled global banks like the Federal Reserve System. They create money every day, which increases the world's money supply. Because all banks are either owned or controlled by private bankers, the real question is, how do private bankers create new money? And the answer is, they create it out of thin air. Bankers create money out of nothing. They make it up. It is a fiction. Wow. Godlike power to create something of value out of nothing. A stroke of a keyboard and money is created. In fact, only 3% of the world's money is even in the form of bills and coins, which means 97% of all money in the world is just numbers typed on a computer screen. This is part one of the banking scam. Money is created out of nothing. The second part of the scam is this phony money is issued as debt. What is debt exactly? Well, when you consider we work our whole lives to pay it off, you could say debt is slavery. But whose debt is this phony money? It's our debt, all of it. It's our debt when we use credit cards, we get student loans, borrow money for mortgages, all bank borrowing. And it's our debt, again, when the government borrows, which is each and every day. In today's world, money is debt, and debt is money, and don't forget the interest charges. Money equals debt, and debt equals slavery. Therefore, money equals slavery. Our monetary system is a carefully concealed system of slavery. Why? Because our government can create the same money for free with no interest charges, just like they used to as the Founding Fathers designed it inside the United States Constitution for our protection against private bankers. The third part of the banking scam is very evil. When bankers create money from nothing and issue it as debt, they only create the principal portion of the debt. They do not create the money for the future interest payments. There is not enough money in existence for all of us to make our interest payments. In fact, our money creation system is even mathematically impossible. Money issued by the banks, principal debt, does not equal the money demanded back to the banks, principal plus interest. We are forced to play a game of musical chairs to see who can make their debt repayments. This guarantees a world of bankruptcy, competition, and scarcity of money. For example, we go to the bank to borrow money for a house, let's say $100,000. The moment we sign the loan document, the bank creates the money out of thin air. A $100,000 debit gets registered for us and a $100,000 secured credit for them. Then one of two things happens. Either we give the bank 30 years of labor making house payments totaling $300,000 for the original $100,000 we borrowed, or the bank takes our house. The bankers get either our labor for life or our house, and often they get both, all from money created out of thin air and issued as debt, for money made out of nothing. This is why all the bankers end up with all the assets. The fourth part of the banking scam is inflation. People think inflation is prices and costs increase. A better answer might be the value of our money always goes down. Inflation is created every time the central banks print money, which is every day. Where does all this new money get its value? The answer is, it steals its value from the existing money supply, where our savings are. Our savings are disappearing because of the new money they're printing. If money creation was in balance with goods and services, there would be no inflation. Prices would stay the same. But the reality is banks always print money, driving prices ever higher, which steals the value of our savings, making them disappear. Since the private bankers created the private Federal Reserve in 1913, the United States dollar has lost 97 cents in purchasing power. An item in 1913 that costs $100 in 2011 costs $2,230, a price increase of 2,130%. This is the banking scam. Four parts. Private bankers create money out of nothing and charge interest on it. There is no money created for the future interest payments, and inflation steals our savings every day. In order for the banking scam to be pulled over our eyes, the bankers need help from the likes of paid-for politicians and appointed civil servants, military-industrial complex, mainstream media, multinational corporations, and the bankers' good buddies. For example, what do our banker-controlled television networks say about criminal bankers? Oh, bankers are our saviors. Chairman is man of the year. He saved the world. Bankers really do deserve their bonuses. They're so smart. And what do our banker-owned G20 politicians say we need to do? That we must save our banking system, and now we need austerity measures, like increasing existing taxes and bringing in new taxes, cutting our social programs, including education and health care, stealing from our pension plans while increasing the retirement age, keeping us working for more years at lower wages while placing our children and grandchildren in debt and servitude for their future lives. We are being lied to. that we must go deeper in debt for bailouts, stimulus packages, quantitative easing, saving the too big to fail banks, credit easing, currency interventions, all names that mean the same thing, more debt to us. Is it not strange that the solution to too much debt is always more debt to us? And where is all this money going? It's going to the banks and to the bankers. They are stealing our money right now. 0.1% of the world's population owns 2/3 of the world's wealth. This means that 99.99% of the world's population own less than 1/3 of the wealth, a decreasing amount, because these guys are stealing it. We desperately need to wake up to the banking scam. It is time for change. To retake control of our money system, we must stop supporting the banking scam. Lincoln said the government should create all the currency and credit needed to satisfy the spending power of government and the buying power of consumers. Money will cease to be master and will then become servant of humanity. And Jefferson said the issuing power of money should be taken from the banks and restored to the people to whom it properly belongs. It's a pyramid scheme. And we, the people, are the bottom layers of the banking pyramid. Without our support, the banking scam collapses. We have to do it ourselves. Wake up, get active, wake others. Remove our money from the bank. Buy gold and silver coins. Get out of debt. Rip up your credit cards. These actions will bring down the banking scam. Only vote for politicians who support debt-free money, or run for office yourself and turn off mainstream media to search for the truth while you still can, and support every effort to end the Federal Reserve System and all the privately owned central banks. Let's bring these criminals to justice to get our money and our countries back before it's too late.
Okay, Moses, we're back. I think that pretty much put in a nutshell. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna put because I used to be a carpenter as a trade, building construction, building houses, building bridges, caps, columns, form carpenter, roofer, painter, all this, you know, these skills I have. What I would like to do is I would like to build a structure. And what I want to do, I want to take your house and start on building it. And what we're going to do, based on what you just heard, is we're going to take a nail and take a board that represents the bank, based on what you just heard, and nail it to your house. We're going to take another board and nail it to your house, representing the land patent that the house sit on. What do you have? You have criminals. I'm trying to get you to understand what you're dealing with from every conceivable angle, so you will understand how. When you get ready to deal with the solution to this thing, don't never lose sight of this. And the reason I keep trying to drill this home is because people be, they be, and I talk to brothers and sisters all over the United States. And I ain't gonna call nobody name, and I know they out there listening. But I had one person today told me I'm gonna look at my mortgage and see if there's any fraud in it. Now don't you be mad at me. You call me, we gonna talk about it. But I just had to tell this to you. Oh, one more thing. This is what I need you. Those of you who have Talker Archives, and those of you who have had successes and stuff in dealing with the materials that we provided for you, I need you to send me an email with your success stories. Send it me. I'm even asking y'all for this right here. And y'all, you know, y'all, I know y'all busy and all that right here. But send a brother, break bread with a brother. Go ahead and send me your success story. And what I'm going to do is post it so other people can see, because people be like, do you know anybody else? I said, yeah, they're me. Because I talked to them all the way from here to Afghanistan and Japan. They doing this thing, man. And but I'm just talking to the ones who trying to get it together. It ain't complicated. You can do this thing. You just need the tools to do it with. And clear your mind and pray at night. You know, I lived in a homeless shelter. I slept on the floor in there on concrete. But I went out and got me a blanket, put it on the floor, I slept on that. And then I got up one day. I said, hey, man, I'm finna change this right here. I said, because I have too much intelligence with this business right here. I came from a good family and all this right here. The only thing I have to do is change my mind. And I changed my mind. I got up, I got out, and it still wasn't easy. But I kept on going and kept focused and kept doing what I did, and I'm still on the mission, because if I got up, if my brother is trying to get up and he's having a hard time, I'm standing here right now to help you up too, you see. And this is why I do what I do. I've been asked over and over on Facebook, LinkedIn, every conceivable site, you know, why do you do what you do? I'm not saying what you do is wrong, but I'm trying to find out what it is that motivates you. This is what motivates you, me. My people come first. Everybody else comes second. If I had $1 billion, it won't do me no good if I'm by myself. I'm going to need somebody else to be with me and to help me enjoy it and to see some people. And the only people I want to see immediately is the one who look like me. Now, that don't mean it ain't got nothing to do with racism or racism, nothing like that. This is just how I am. This is the way I see it. Now, if I got 40 million people that look like me, I'm happy. Male and female, and cheering and running around and playing and happy and stuff, to me, that's where it's at. Ain't nothing like having a big yard where all the little children and running around and playing till they just can't play no more and complaining about who hit me and cause you know they done already done wrong. But anyway, that delights me, and I have fun doing that. And the whole world, everybody in the world wants that, but we're going to have to do what it takes to make that reality. Okay, because that's living. Family is business, and business is family. And family come first. And before you can go out and save the world and be multicultural, my question is, have you made up your own bed? Have you learned everything you could about your own self? Have you done everything that you could to make sure that what you can identify with is settled? Now, if anybody got any questions or comments, go ahead and raise your hand. We're going to take another little quick break, and we'll be right back. So if you got a house, land, property, mortgage, go ahead and raise your hand so we can direct you or try to get some solvement on this thing for you, okay?
You are wrong! I've been married to my wife for 20 years, and it is not because I want to be white, it's because I love her. I said, can I ask you a question? I said, if black-white marriage is all about love, if black-white marriage is all about love, why is it that 98% of black men married to white women have power, property, status, and privilege that his wife doesn't? And if it's all about love, why can't I find one rich white woman married to a broke-ass black man? Are y'all with me?
rich white woman married to a poor black man? So if it's about love, why does it never work the other way? Doesn't pure chance dictate that there got to be a couple of rich white women with poor black men? It's always rich black men. And then a brother said to me, I think you make too much of this interracial thing. Because when I'm out for mine, don't no white men give me no bad looks. They don't look me up and down. Don't no white women look at her saying, what are you doing? You're disgracing our race. People treat us like any other couple. So how do you explain that? I said, you Negro, let me tell you. The reason why no black men or white women rebuke you for dating a white woman is because the only ones you're allowed to date are the ones who are the white women.
Did you help him build it? No. But you get the money. Why? Because you're all in the same family.
is called entitlement. Guess what? We all in the same family. It is called entitlement. Y'all don't talk that stuff to nobody else, but y'all want to talk it to black people. The reason I hold white people accountable for slavery ain't because they participated in slavery, but they do what? They participate in the unfair distribution of the wealth that slavery created. Are y'all listening to me? That's why they're responsible. You didn't put my ancestors in chains, no. But the money that was made by my ancestors being in chains, you control. And you do nothing to give me the peace that I own. So yes, you just as guilty as a bad practice with 300 years. Next question. You gotta take what the Europeans say, black people, and give it right back. Every strength can be a weakness, and every weakness can be a strength. And most Europeans think that they are much more smart than black people. There's nothing. Have you ever seen anything funnier than the Europeans being cornered by a brother or sister, breaking their ass down, and they start having a white supremacy attack? I think you're getting violent. That's not gonna fight. We're dealing with your ideas. I was in a meeting with the teacher. We talked about a little black boy. She wanted him on medicine. I said, ain't nothing wrong with this boy. Ain't nothing wrong with him. He don't need no drugs. You just don't know how to manage your class. She started having a white person. You're raising your voice. I want you. And then the black man, they so in love with the white women. That a white woman thing every black man wants. Every time he goes to win some white women, they looking behind him. You even got black. You ain't, it ain't even black. So what I want you for? Nothing cute about it.
Join you. I remember reading about our president, Thomas Jefferson, when he reflected on the condition of the black man in America. He said these words: I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever. Naturally, during the 6,000 years that this contrary man and ruler was given time to rule, it would look as though God's justice was asleep. Not today. He's present in the world. And so the Quran says it like this: Allah is swift at taking retribution. So those who want to do wickedly, remember, the recompense is not years off, centuries off. It's almost as quickly as you do your evil will come the recompense for what you did. Now, in the 13th chapter of Isaiah the prophet, in the last verse of that chapter, listen to the words: hyenas will inhabit her strongholds and jackals her luxurious palaces. Her time is at hand and her days will not be prolonged. This is talking about the end of Babylon. Again, in verse 19 of that 13th chapter, it reads, Babylon, the jewel of kingdoms, the pride and the glory of the Babylonians will be overthrown by God like Sodom and Gomorrah. What weapon in nature did God use to overthrow Sodom and Gomorrah and leave her as a sign? Isaiah says that Babylon will never be inhabited or lived in through all the generations of this millennium. There, no nomad will pitch their tent. There, no shepherds will rest their flocks, but desert creatures will lie there. Jackals will fill her houses. There, the owls will dwell, and there, the wild goats will leap about. This is not talking about animals. It's talking about people with the characteristics of these animals. Hyenas will inhabit her stronghold. Jackals, her luxurious palaces. Her time is at hand, and her days will not be prolonged. Well, if in the end this kind of animal is used as a picture of those that will inhabit the palaces of the rulers of the Babylonian Empire, then what is the nature of these animals? Let's look at some definitions. A hyena is a nocturnal wild dog that attacks in packs. And when it is referring to a human being, it is a person who performs dishonest or base deeds as the follower or accomplice of another. An owl is chiefly a nocturnal bird of prey. And when it says wild goats will dance about, wild means living in a state of nature not tamed or domesticated. It means uncivilized or barbarous when it comes to a human being. Unrestrained violence, fury, intensity, wild strife, and wild storms. What is this goat, this wild goat? The goat is closely related to the sheep. And it is found native in rocky and mountainous regions of the Old World. Now, isn't that interesting that the goat is closely related to the sheep? And a kid is a young goat. While I'm on that subject, beloved brothers and sisters, stop calling your children kids. When we understand the nature of the goat, why would you name your little children after something that is wild, that is mischievous, that is a troublemaker? They are akin to the sheep, but the sheep has a different nature. And so Jesus used these two animals in his parable of the separation between the sheep and the goat. But the nature of the sheep is different from the nature of the goat. But all these animals that we mention, they are all scavengers. And a scavenger is an organism that feeds on dead organic matter. When it's referring to a human being, it's a person who searches through and collects items from discarded material. In chemistry, it's a chemical that consumes or renders inactive the impurities in a mixture. In the Holy Quran, in the 113th chapter, these are the last chapters of the Quran. These are titled the chapters of refuge. And there is a verse that says, I seek refuge in Allah from the intense darkness when it comes. That when this intense darkness...
Okay, Moses, we're back. That was the Honorable Louis Farrakhan from the Nation of Islam. Now, what we're going to do here now is we're going to deal with something from a whole different perspective to show you from the deepest regions of what is going on. Because if you know what happened, what is the cause, and what is the standard, and what is the expected, and what is created, then you can clearly understand what you must do now and in the future of dealing with certain things. Now, before I get into this, I want to say one more time, for those of you who are new, just call in. On August the 16th through the 18th, we'll host our Morris Summit 2 right here in Jacksonville, Florida. You need to be here. We'll be right there in the Wyndham Hotel, and we will show you what we're doing here in the point of transforming our neighborhood into community, and so that the people can provide support, sustenance, become self-sustaining. I want to show you what the model looked like. So when you go back home, you will know what to do, what your mission should be, and what is an excellent starting point on top of what you already got going. Now, we're going to deal with something here now that you need to take advantage of. But keep in mind, the solution to the problems and stuff that has been described for you this evening, I need you to contact me, Tahaka Montiel Bay, at area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Keep in mind that with the Moorish American government, we are there on Wednesday night, and we are teaching there on contract law. Their laws are us, and so that you can get a clear understanding of what's going on inside the United States, and prepare yourself and to get in a position to start doing some things. We're there on Wednesday night, every Wednesday night, to put this information down. But in the meantime, we're doing our broadcast and providing the solutions to the problems that you have. The cures, and this is something that's not been done in the United States. People are treating stuff and sucking the blood of the people and living off the people. But what we want to do is make sure the people are able, because they was born in this world, they have a life too. And just because they don't know everything, there's no reason in the world why to destroy them. There's no reason. None whatsoever.
Hi. My name is Eben Ray, and I'm on the line with Winston Shrout. Winston Shrout Solutions in Commerce, www.wssic.com, coming up on August 25th from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Winston's latest webinar is going to be on the pledge. Let me start off by asking you, Mr. Shrout, would you define the word pledge?
Oh, sure. Basically, a pledge is a special kind of a pawn. And so to understand what a pledge is, perhaps I should go back over the concept of what a pawn is. Now, I think a lot of people are familiar with the local pawn shop. Perhaps some have used it from time to time for whatever reason. But in any event, if you're familiar with a pawn, then there's certain terms that come up, such as bailor, bailee, and some of these kinds of things. And these are concepts, you know, that are instrumental to understanding this. Now, a typical pawn, if someone wants to turn an asset into cash, the pawn shop is a ready vehicle to do that. And so you would take the asset. Let's say, for instance, it's a radio. And so you take the radio to the pawn shop. Now, in that relationship, you would be the bailor, and the fellow that's running the pawn shop would be the bailee. So you take the asset as the bailor to the bailee. The bailee does an assessment of the value of the radio, keeping in mind that he might have to resell the radio to recover on his loan. And so once a number is agreed to between the bailor and the bailee, then the bailee takes possession of the radio and he turns over to the bailor a certain amount of cash and also a receipt. Now, along with the agreement on the contract between the two parties, there is also an interest rate which is agreed upon. So when the bailor leaves the pawn shop with cash, he also has a pawn ticket or a receipt, and also there is a certain amount of interest which is anticipated upon completion of the contract. Now, that's a simple pawn. So let's get into what a pledge would be. As I mentioned, a pledge is a special kind of a pawn in this regard. But by using the pledge system, the actual asset itself is not taken to the pawn shop, but rather the title to the asset is taken by the bailor to the bailee, and rather than the radio being passed across the counter, the title to the radio is taken by the bailee. And so again, this facilitates the transaction on this basis that you're no longer having to haul an item into the pawn shop, but rather you take a piece of paper which is the title to the asset. Now, certainly, if the bailee is willing to accept the title as a pledge, then the bailor has to guarantee that he will keep the asset, such as the radio, in good, safe working order. See, that's another responsibility that comes from the use of the pledge. So, this then is the basis of how this works. Now, when the bailor wants to redeem the asset, whether it be the radio or whether it be the title to the radio, he takes back to the bailee or to the pawn shop the agreed upon money plus the interest along with the receipt. You understand that the receipt is a cash receipt. And so he goes back to the bailee with his original loan of money. He takes back in the amount of interest that has been agreed upon, and he takes back the cash receipt as proof of the money. And when he surrenders those things back to the bailee passes back either the asset or the title to the asset, which is unencumbered. In other words, the title is now lien free. So this is how a basic pawn works. This is how a basic pledge works. Do you have any questions, or is that easily understood?
Well, you're just making me think about the title to my car that I have, and it's in somebody else's hands. I have the responsibility to keep it running and do all of that, but yet somebody can snatch it away for parking tickets.
Well, correct. You know, when you start talking about automobiles, the DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles, and using this pledge system, it's a little bit more convoluted than this particular thing that I've described here, but certainly I wanted to put across the thought process of how a pledge works, because as we get back into other situations, you know, other than, you know, the local pawn shop, when we start talking about big government and how it is they've been able to take control of the assets of America, which title has been pledged to the federal debt, then it starts to ring a few bells and perhaps get a few people angry.
Well, here's the question then. Title to the assets of America. What kind of assets are we talking about? Are we talking about just land?
No. We're talking about the whole gamut. But more important than the land. Well, I shouldn't say more important than the land. And, you know, as I've tried to emphasize in the past, people are simply walking dirt. I know that sounds silly.
Well, from ash we come and from dust we will return, right?
Absolutely. Which demonstrates that the mortal existence is only an illusion.
Very good.
We came from somewhere, we're here for a short period of time, and then we go on. And so this mortal plane that we're existing on and talking right now is the illusion. And the spiritual realm is the reality because it is eternal in nature. But
I am with you there, sir. Yes.
For the present time, we're stuck in our mortal existence, and so all these things that we're trying to deal with to help people take back control of their dirt, is for that purpose. Now you understand that, you know, the purpose of Solutions in Commerce and many other educators and websites and so forth that have been put up have been for the purpose of freeing people's minds so that they could operate in this present circumstance, you know, with a certain amount of freedom. I mean, that's a word everybody likes to hear. I'm not really sure that's the right word. I very seldom use that word, but as a catch word, I think a lot of people are familiar with that term.
Well, sir, you do give people the opportunity to have freedom of choice to live a more than just human being life, but a fuller life by
sure.
Having knowledge of how to proactively react to circumstances and to, you know.
This planet was set up as a free will planet.
Yes, sir.
And you cannot have free will if the correct choice is not available.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have 100 options, but you cannot exercise free will unless one of the options is the correct answer. And so some of the charlatans on the planet have worked to remove the right answer. And so people are stuck because they simply don't have the option of choosing the right thing. So that's what we've been involved in, is opening up a little bit of education for the benefit of the people, so that they have the opportunity to make the right choice if that's what they want.
Well, that is a very loving, modest statement from you to sit there and say that you've opened up a little bit of information, because your webinars that you've been having and all of your workshops, Winston, are opening up the universe to people, right?
Well, that's what we're trying to do.
Yes. And let me remind folks, you get to get on this train of freedom coming up on August 25th. You get to do it virtually, too, by joining Winston on his amazing webinars, August 25th from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Call 503-538-7100, 503-538-7100. Say that you heard this interview, this good, clean, fun introduction with Winston and myself, and get a discount. Just make sure and call in. And so we really hope that you tune in for Winston's latest webinar, What is a Pledge? When we left, we were talking about the ideas of the title of the assets of America are pledged. What constitutes assets of America and or the title to them being unpledged, and to whom?
Well, let's go back and analyze just for a moment the concept of what a title is.
Oh, yes.
I personally am very careful about the use of titles because it the use of titles is what creates the fictions. So I'm very careful. You know, I mean, about as far as I go would be Mr. or Mrs. just out of respect. But, you know, I'm very, very careful about when and where I would actually use a title. For this reason is that the title, the use of titles, puts you right back into the feudal system.
Yes.
Now, I'll tell you how that is. Way back when, you know, we got King John to blame for it, I guess. Back in 1213, King John, who apparently had some glitch in his moral conscience. what was wrong with that fellow, I don't know. But he made a deal with the Vatican, with the Pope, in regards to forgiveness of his perceived sins. In consequence of that, he gave over to the Vatican his kingdom. Now, in 1215, the lords, the Knights Templars in particular, were not happy with John when they found out what he had done. And so as a result of that, we have the guarantees that are contained in the Magna Carta, would circumvent the treaty and agreement that John had made with the Vatican, and so we use that from time to time. But let's talk about the results of that. And that was when someone in the kingdom wanted the use of land, they would go to the king and say, hey, I want this 100 acres over here, for instance. And the king would say, okay, I'll give you the use of the 100 acres in exchange for. There were three conditions that were put upon the use of the land. Number one was knight service, which, in other words, the party receiving the use of the land. You can call them a baron or an earl or a lord or whatever. I don't know what you call them, folks.
Very good, sir.
Yeah.
The nobility, but, the nobility, right?
In some respects,
right.
I mean, they were made into nobility by the use of the land.
Yes, sir.
And so in consequence of that agreement, they agreed to knight service, which, in other words, they had to supply, you know, X amount of knights if the king decided to go to war. So that was condition number one. And then the other two conditions were rent and taxes. They had to agree to pay a rent for the use of the land. Number three, they had to agree to a tax upon the product, you know, that they were going to create with the use of the land. So those three things were conditions upon receiving a title. Now, let's get back into our present world and look at all the things, you know, whether it be real estate, land, houses, automobiles. refrigerators
right.
or whatever. Everything that we have comes with a title. Now, if that's the case, and so if you have been granted by the king the use of land or whatever, what are the three things that the king requires of you under the feudal system? Number one is knight or military responsibilities or the support of the military. Number two, a rent. And everybody who's ever signed any kind of mortgage agreements and deeds of trust and all those kind of things, look right straight on there, and what does it say that you are? It says you're a tenant.
Even if you have a mortgage, sir?
Sure. Look on all the papers that come out of those mortgages. They'll all list you as a tenant. Okay, and so along with the military or the support of the military, now the fact that you're a tenant, which means you have to pay rent. There also comes the obligation of taxation from the product that you actually create. So this is one of the ways that the guys in charge, the government, the king, or however you want to call them, this is one of the ways that they have completely encumbered the people and all of the assets that the people use and all of the assets that the people produce. So the whole system that we're operating with is a total feudal system.
Still, it's still a
absolutely.
Feudal system.
Why do you think the government was so adamant about going through all the colonies and all the new land acquisitions and so forth and so on and setting up title offices?
But how did they, in a sense, capture? Who was it that captured this land that then they were able to convey the title to? Who actually owns the land that then titled it to?
That's the beautiful thing. No one can own land. But that's good, because who owns the earth? The scripture says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and they that dwell therein. Now, so who's the owner?
The Lord.
Okay, so who's the usurper? The government.
Okay. Or the church?
The church, the government, or the powers that be. See, the native people who lived here before the crazy Europeans showed up, they realized they could not own the land. They could not own their mother. I mean, they all had a belly button, for crying out loud, so they knew that they were created beings. And so they never gave the thought, more than 2 seconds of who owns the land, because they knew they couldn't own it.
Well,
yes. Same thing today. You can't own land, but you can be a steward upon the land. Now, if you want to acquiesce to the title system and go back into the feudal, then rather than being a steward, now all of a sudden you're a tenant, and you owe rent and taxes, plain and simple.
Well, your webinar is going to be absolutely fascinating because, I mean, really, to trace down the title, the actual asset, and that those assets might even be closer to home, because don't they have something called human resources? Does that mean we are a class of asset that is being leveraged? All of this and more, you are going to be able to interact with Winston Shrout, www.wssic.com, Winston Shrout Solutions in Commerce.com. His next webinar is coming up on August 25th. It's going to be from 9 a.m. to noon. You call 503-538-7100. 503-538-7100, and this webinar, it's titled, What is a Pledge? And when we were getting, ready to speak about this, I was thinking that, Winston was talking about the Pledge of Allegiance. Oh, but no, there is so much more. It's not just oath of office. It's actually the transfer of title of assets, and some of it might be a piece of you. And so it's going to be absolutely fascinating. We hope that you call and just get back on that train of freedom of all this amazing knowledge that's being handed down to you. So, Winston, somebody being a part of your webinar, when they walk away, what do you hope their abilities will be from knowing this kind of information?
Peace of mind.
And what is the answer? What is the what's lifted from them, or what do they? What will they be empowered to understand by learning about the idea?
Well, in essence, knowledge will set you free.
Yes.
And so, once you understand the situation, you can better prepare for eventualities. You can deal, or you can block attempts of some of these things.
Very good.
For instance, there's been a great deal of emphasis, you know, about since 2008, there's been a great deal of excitement in the country and across the planet, I might add, about these ridiculous mortgage situations that keep popping up, and how the banks and the corporations have been throwing people out of their homes onto the street for profit and gain.
Right.
And so, you know, once you understand, you know. You know, there are so many buzzwords and catchphrases that have gotten into people's minds erroneously. One of them is the American dream, own your own home. Hey, give me a break here.
You think that's erroneous?
Well, of course it is. You can't own a home.
Oh. Okay, you can control it, but you can't
own
it.
Yeah, you can be the steward.
The steward.
Most people find themselves falling into the category of a tenant.
Now, but most of the people, who are the people that don't?
Well, you know, one of the things, and I'll say this, you know, rather glibly or perhaps tongue-in-cheek, I don't know which one, but, you know, one of the things that knowledge has done for me is that I realize, number one, that this is the illusion we're living in. I can recognize the fictions. I can recognize the frauds. And in consequence of that, I do not allow myself to get drawn into those circumstances. Now, the biggest fraud, the biggest fiction that have plagued the people on the planet is the concept of debt. And we have worked overtime to try to expose that fiction and that fraud so that people can get free of the illusion. And, if nothing else, you know, in your lifetime, would you not like to be able to see things as they really are?
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely.
Now, whether or not an individual can completely rid themselves of those items is in question, so that's what we teach people to do. But wouldn't it be nice if you wake up in the morning and say, hey, I know what's going on, and today I am not going to fall victim to that.
I love it, sir. It's prescriptive.
Is that not freedom?
That is freedom, sir. Because you know what? There's always stuff flying in the air, and knowing how to deflect it or not even come in contact with it, that's the power that you are giving people the choice to embrace. And that's a beautiful thing, sir. Really.
Yeah. We just, like I say, we're just trying to do our part. I think that, as a teenager, you know, I started to analyze what was going on in my world. And a wise teacher had taught me about freedom of choice. And I was probably 16 years old when I learned this. And that was, you can't have freedom of choice unless the right choice is available.
There you go.
And so many times you have to scratch around and dig deep and so forth to find what that right answer is, because it's not being taught, it's not being exposed in our present world. You have to go and look for it. But, you know, that's good, because once you get that pearl of great price, then you treasure it because you have worked for the knowledge, and so it has meaning, it has value to you when you find it.
Yes.
So that's basically why, you know, I've turned to education and giving seminars is to, number one, expose the fiction and the fraud, but also to point people on a journey so they can find that pearl of great price. And once they have found it, you know, because of their effort, not because of mine, but because of their effort, their labors, they will treasure it for the value that it actually has.
Well, the wonderful thing, sir, and I can attest to it, is that when you are on this search for knowledge and understanding, you come across angels. And that can be a discovery too. Discovering folks like you, Mr. Shrout.
I'm not an angel. I'm a man.
I know, but you know what? You're being a higher conscious man, and that's great. And,
well, that's,
you know,
what we're moving towards, Evan. As you've listened to the various things that are happening around us, the effort as we go into the age of Aquarius,
yes,
is to raise the vibrational frequencies of the people so they can reach a higher level of understanding and comprehension.
Yes.
And you can't really, I mean, it's a hindrance, I'll put it that way. It's a hindrance to raising your vibrational frequencies if you're burdened with the illusion.
Yes.
So we're trying to pop that bubble, expose the illusion for what it is, give people a little bit of breathing room, So they can, work out what they need to do to arrive at this new age of enlightenment. And we have many, many light workers across the planet who are laboring day in and day out to bring these things to the people. And, you know, I'm kind of, when you talk about being a light worker, I'm kind of down into the mud hole trying to stir things up a little bit. But so I don't know if I'd be called a light worker so much as a person who's trying to, you know, extending a washcloth and a little bit of soap to folks so they can clean themselves up.
Well, I'm telling you, that's bringing light, sir. I mean,
it is.
You know, just one light in a cave, sir. And so that is just the I'm so thankful and I'm so happy to tell people about what you are doing at your site, www.wssic.com, Winston Shrout Solutions in Commerce. All you have to do is dial 503-538-7100, 503-538-7100. Mention this lovely, you know, interview, Winston, with Eben, and get a discount. I'm so honored. And this upcoming webinars on August 25th is What is a Pledge? And this was just a tickle to something very deep. And you always know it when Winston, you know, brings his webinars on. You know, get a couple of pens, nice big pad of paper, sit back, enjoy, and learn.
Great. We know it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Evan. You have such a wonderful voice to talk to. Have you ever thought about a career in radio broadcasting?
Oh, no, I just like to...
Hey, I'm alone with my lady, but I can always feel her presence. I don't care how far I go away. Now, I got a letter today, and it made me feel so good when I read what the letter had to say. I'm going to take the tension off you, baby, because I'm on my way. Hey, baby, honey, I'm on the way. It ain't going to take long. Can you hold yourself together and remember that I'm your girl?
Is this, because I was listening to Winston Shrout, and he said that God owns the land, so therefore no man could own the land. So there's only one question left: who is God? Now I like to. As if any of the moles out there, anybody out there, anybody, go ahead and raise your hand and so you can tell me who you think God is. Now, this is the way I see it. Uh-oh, wait a minute. We got one that... Come on in. Hey, 4-4. Come on in. Erico 404.
You hear me?
I see. Yeah, I hear you right now. Come on, loud and clear. Let me have it.
Okay. Well, they say okay, God. That's an action word, right? And so the word God, I think is Government Ordinance Department, or it can go back to the Germanic word Gad. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. For which that means fortune or whatever. Now, far as the universe, I mean, you got the Sumerian text, and you got the Egyptian text,
mm-hmm.
and they keep pointing back to the extraterrestrials. You know what I'm saying? And they doctrine.
Okay.
With Enki and Niti, the master geneticist from Sirius B, that the oldest planet in the solar system, the heaviest planet, and the brightest star out there. So,
all right, well, wait. Hold it right there. Let's take Enki and them, put them on the side. Just put them on the side for a minute. And while you at it, put the dogo on over there with him. Just hold that right there, fire. And let's take the Sumerian and let's deal with the region. Let's deal with people, places, times, and events so we can find out what man represents the Sumerian, if it ever was a Sumerian, but what man was in the region. Okay, go ahead. We're going to put them on. We're going to get with them. Bring it on. Let me have the rest of it.
Okay, and I, yeah, so they, by Incan Inti, you know, where I, extraterrestrial ancestors, that they were black people. We in their image. You know what I'm saying? And so they, it was supermen and superwomen who knew how to mate the planet, moon, and the stars and stuff like that.
Mm.
And so they were saying something about this before there even was the first Adam. You know what I'm saying? It was this element called magic. And before that even was a person to create anything, it was this element called magic, the oldest force in nature. And then after Adam of Egypt, he created nine more other space beings in his image to create, you know, the clouds and stuff like that. And yes, the other beings creating, I think that was Adam, I mean, wasn't that Isis and Ra, where that come from? But they also got the Big Bang Theory and evolution.
Let me ask you this, Ray. Now, you mentioned Isis. Do you think Isis and Ra were real? Do you think this is just some stuff made up?
Oh, I know they were real. I know they were, because I'm real. I know we come, you know, it's a, you know what I'm saying? You really don't, it's an evolution thing. I don't see five or extraterrestrial ships out here.
Okay, wait a minute. Let's hold it right here. Let's hold it. Now, the title of the show is, Do Moorish Americans Own Their Own Land? Now, my question to you is, in your opinion, number one, who is God? Because if we can find out who God is and where his real life, blood, DNA, descended children are, they would have to inherit and be the owners of the land. And in this particular case, since he owned the earth, everything on it and everything in it, could you give us a breakdown on it? And please provide all the necessary mechanics and nuts and bolts and wiggle pins to make sure there's no mistake about it. Could you give me that?
The breakdown, okay. Well, I'm just not, you know, getting a hold of this knowledge. So I think it's like this. I think the super race that made this, the Superman and Superwoman that made this universe, mm-hmm. and everything in it, I believe they down here right now,
mm-hmm.
playing in their own game that they created in this monopoly system. So mm-hmm. they can be on the street on drugs or whatever. They just really it's like an experience, you know what I'm saying? Like the feel and touch and be intimate and stuff like that, for pleasure and for power and stuff like that. You know, they like some kids or something like that. They pure in nature. They made all the animals pure. They don't come out with no birth defects like we do. It's because we born in a European hospital now, and they shoot you with that poison when they're a child, and they take away your five senses. So you can't fly no more. You can't open up your chakra system. They already know this. But the Europeans got a timeline according to the clock of destiny. They got a timeline. We're going to get this knowledge again. You're going to start flying again, picking up boulders with your mind again. You're going to start teleporting. You're going to do all that good stuff again.
Okay, but my question to you, is we're going to say that you went to Harvard and Cambridge and the greatest universities in America. Can you tell me who you are without telling me your name? Because what we're trying to do is get back to, because he said man. He didn't say mankind. He said man cannot own land. So what we're trying to do is get to a different scenario and get a breakdown on it so we get clarity on it.
That's not true. Man do own this land because man created this universe.
Well, who is man? Who is man? Who and what is man?
Man is God, though. But really, man created God in his own image. They flipped it around. Made it seem like God created you, but you created God in your own image.
All right. Okay. Hold on a minute. Let me ask you something. Let me switch it around. In your opinion, what is the oldest finds of human remains on Earth?
Them bones called Lucy.
What race that was? Who was
the African race.
All right. We got back for a few thousand years. Let's go back a little bit further. If you are a person that's been classified as Negro, Black, and Colored, African American, Afro American, all this right here. You have DNA just like everybody else. Is that correct?
Correct.
Right. Am I right or wrong?
You're right.
Okay. So if what we're calling God created the heavens and the earth, and he put the first man on earth, and he told us how he created it. Do you think that he was able, or did he create this man with a different type of blood, a DNA, a different bone structure? Do you think he did that, or do you think he created something that was consistent with what he was and what he knew?
Okay, let's say for example, I'm the one, I'm God. I'm the one who made the universe and everything in it.
Right? All right. Okay,
and then
go ahead.
Okay. And then I started having children. But before I made the universe, I was with my woman though, just like the marijuana plant, it grow with the male seed and the female seed in a swine.
What she look like? Why you was attracted to her? What did she look like?
Like Nicki Minaj or something like that.
Nicki Minaj? Yeah. Who is that? Nicki Minaj. Did she look like you?
Yeah, she looked like me. She was black. She was a black woman.
All right. Help me out, brother. Come on, let's ride. Let's go.
Okay. Yeah, she was a black woman, but when you know what I'm saying, like, let's say the Big Bang Theory and evolution, like, magic was the oldest force before there was even a creative force. The magic was the force behind the first atom, and atom was a couple, though. It was the title, an office, of the two people that inherit the power of magic. We don't know where magic come from, but magic made the two atoms, and the atom man and the atom woman, and then they started having children. They was at the top of the pyramid, and then they started making children to create and stuff like that and procreate.
But now what you're telling me now is you and Nicki Minaj look alike, and y'all were jet black, and now y'all gonna start having children. So what did children look like?
They was black. Just they was in their own image.
All right, hold it right there. Hold it right there. Area code 704.
Hello, this is Brother Crowder, Henry.
All right, let me have it.
I'd like to help him with that, who God is.
Okay, come on in.
Well, God is just an ordinary name, but Jehovah, who created this world, and Jesus Christ suffered, paid the ransom for us. Do we understand that?
Jesus Christ, you're going to have to explain that one to me.
Well, Jesus Christ is the Son of Jehovah. Jehovah, the living God, only God. He's the creator of everything. He created angels, many of them, and some of them got unruly, came down on earth, and formed themselves in bodies and started having sex with me as wives and daughters.
But what I'm trying to find out, you mentioned Jesus Christ. Now, what I'm trying to figure out now is because I mentioned earlier that we were dealing with people, places, times, and events. And I know that as early as the 16th century, Van Liesveld created the Gutenberg Press and had not been jacked by the Lombards with the creating a press with the movable print. And prior to that, there was no alphabet, Jay. Now, I had a brother came on and told me about the Arabic, this, that, and the other, but after careful examination, we find out that there was no Jay. So now I'm disturbed because I'm trying to figure out, after the, dealing with the works of Walter Williams, that there could not have possibly been an Englishman named Jesus Christ. So could you give us a breakdown in, on that?
Well, sir, the only thing I can say is this. He was we're the lost tribe of Israel.
But I'm trying to figure out about the Jesus. I'm trying to figure out about the Jesus Christ that you mentioned first, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to find out, because this Brother Winston Stroud came on, he said that man cannot own land. And I'm trying to figure out, because he didn't say mankind, he said man. And I know man goes all the way backwards in time, all the way to the creator himself. And the creator and man is one and the same. But now you are telling me about a Jesus Christ.
Well, see,
but there was no alphabet J added to the English language. You're throwing me off. I'm trying to find out what you're trying to say. I tell you what you do. This is in Christianity. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, could you tell me everything you know about Christianity so we can get a clear and concise understanding about the history of Christianity?
Well, I don't really know that much about Christianity, but I know Allah a lot. But they tell me, and I have read the 24th song, "The earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded upon the sea and established upon the flood." Hello?
I'm listening.
"And who shall perceive his hands in the heels of the Lord? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle." But
okay.
They say Lord, but I say Jehovah myself.
Okay, now you mentioned Jehovah. And
mm-hmm.
Now here we have, once again, we have the alphabet J that wasn't created until the 16th century, the latter half of the 16th century. So my question now is, because we're dealing with people, places, times, and events, so I'm trying to figure out, who is it on the planet, or who is it possible for there to be on the planet, whose blood, whose spit, whose sweat, whose tears, whose DNA transform back into the beginning of time? Who is it? Because if it is the creator that owns the planet, surely,
yes.
Who is it? Who did you say it was?
A black man.
Okay.
All right.
Do you have another? All right. Now let's proceed. What's your next question or statement?
Were you speaking to me?
Yeah.
Well, what I said, like Adam and Eve, they weren't born as children. They were grown people when they was born.
You done with your shirt?
Oh, Lord,
I can't be quiet.
Am I
right?
Yeah. Well, actually, we don't know that for sure. But I'm going to take that right from where you have it at. And we're going to, let's just say, it was. So if that is the case, how do we explain all the other colors? Because this is what we have. We have jet black or blue black. The next shade down from that is brown. The next shade down from that is red. The next shade down from that is yellow. And the final stage is minus of all colors, or what we refer to as Caucasian, and what we are calling is white, which is no such thing. Could you explain that?
Well, I can't really say, but I can tell you, I know the Bible say when they sent this man to see to get the leprosy off of him, and when he did that, he took stuff from the king and kept it for himself, and the king told him, from this day on, your seed shall be white as snow. And they used to live in caves. Am I right, sir?
Okay. I'm listening.
And I don't know how they failed to get to be manager of everything we intend to be, but they ain't right. I like Muhammad Ali. He's the only black man that I ever be known. Jackie Robinson and him stood up for their original, for our rights. But
okay, well, here's my question. Here's my question to you. Who is the rightful owners of the earth, everything on it, and everything in it, according to the records?
Well,
in antiquity?
I'll say Jehovah. Because he kicked Satan from the heavens.
But you told me again about someone with an alphabet with a J. I don't have any knowledge of that because I'm looking at the original records before any distortion anything of that nature. Well, let me ask you this. Christianity came at a point in time in history. His story, our story. But my question is, prior to it coming, what did we as people of African descent have?
But during that time, we had it all.
Had what?
We had it all. The Africans lived and was living much better until the white man got involved. They dressed in silk and they had the best of everything. I don't know how the white man got into it and sold out. I know I watched Roots one time how the black people sold their own people out.
All right. Well, we only got 11 minutes. Hold on 1 second, brother. Hold on. Erico 404, come on back in.
Yes. The dude, the Christian, he haven't did his research, so that's why he confused right now. But,
all right.
We'll
straighten him out.
Okay, about we own the planet. We own the planet because we made the planet. We made it.
Okay, so
you know,
now
by saying that,
we're saying that people of African descent are the rightful owners of the earth, everything on it, and everything in it, which includes the land. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, give me a breakdown on it.
Okay, because... Okay, in the Bible, when they talk about
let's get out the Bible. Let's get out of the Bible. Give me something.
Okay, okay. If you go to Mexico City, to the
all right,
company,
we're in Mexico. Let's go.
Okay, inside those pyramids, they found extraterrestrial technology and terrestrial technology, and the history of the first white man, which the Egyptians called the Tamahu. The Tamahu people, and explaining to them that's where they got created. See, we went through this because I guess according to they did something they weren't supposed to do. They were trying to make some slaves for themselves, you know, some sex slaves and some servants and stuff like that. And then they was training them all around the world, you know what I'm saying, like cattle and sheep like that. And they couldn't really speak our language that we were speaking, Moorish Latin at that time, and the Netsu letter, stuff like that, you know, stuff like that. So we were treating them real bad, but some people weren't treating them bad. So they were just grotesque with the way they were acting like dogs. So we kicked them out of the west side of the world and put them in a cave over there with the help of Moses. But his name wasn't Moses. His name was Tutmos. That was the Pharaoh, and took them and pushed them out over there, put them in the caves, and then they were going through the Dark Ages for like, 500 years or 1,000 years, probably more than that, just going around like dogs, you know what I'm saying, in the cave, with no language, no speech, no nothing. And then us Moors went over there and decided to train them, build them back up, because we created them, so we built them back up, and they purest form.
All right, and what I'm gonna have to do at this point, ladies and gentlemen, we coming to the close of the broadcast, and I'm gonna have to shut this down. I appreciate everybody for being on here. I've been your host, Talk on Mount El Bay, and you all have a good evening. Okay.
Peace.